business strategist, writer, investor, managing partner in a blockchain company, platinum partners with Tony Robbins, and host of the Resilient Minds podcast. Welcome to Talks with Tony, Eric Balance. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm grateful to be here. Really looking forward to having this conversation and just really diving deep and spending time together learning.
Absolutely love that. So anyone who's listened to the podcast before will know that that's exactly what we like to do. Dig deep, find out the true information. But I do have to actually identify, first of all, you have a voice like velvet. You have one of the most calming voices that I have ever heard. And before we hit record, that was something that we were talking about. So I think we should just dive right in there. I did ask the question, has your voice always been that calm and that mellow? You've got a really, you know, soothing energy. Has it always been that way?
You know, it's not. And it hasn't been because I needed to find balance within myself. And so, you know, funny enough, you asked me before we jumped on, Eric, you know, does balance, where does that come from? Mm-hmm. And for me, this has been something that I always was digging deep within myself. How can I find more balance within to really start to really express that in the way that I am, in the way that I'm being, in the way that I show up in any situation, whether it's uncomfortable, unfamiliar, and really stepping into that space of certainty. And I really find that when we have this ability to be calm in any situation, you kind of can be the calm in the eye of the storm. And everything around you starts to really can be going in an incongruent way or an uncertain way. But you walk through something with certainty. And with peace and calmness, you start to create balance in any environment that you live in.
Oh, you could literally read bedtime stories to put people to, because I'm sitting here listening to that thinking, this sounds epic. Mm-hmm. But anyone who knows me, I am one extreme or the other. I am often very balanced and very calm, or I am, you know, high energy, high octane. And my husband would say, you know, high maintenance in some instances. So for those people who don't know you, I think I've given you a bit of an intro, a bit of a CV, but who is Eric Balance today? What do you do? What do you stand for those who don't yet know you?
For me, the biggest thing is curation of our realities and specifically business. You know, I really work with conscious business owners, conscious entrepreneurs, conscious organizations. What does that mean, conscious?
That's my next question.
You know, is really being aware of how we are cultivating awareness around the people that we serve. So whether it's the cultures that we work with, the audience that we're attracting, and the communities that we're serving. At the end of the day, if we can identify to something that's more meaningful inside of our organizations, then we can start to enhance the capacity of not just the organization, the entrepreneur, or the business owner, we can actually start to encourage everybody to work together towards a common shared purpose. And I really believe that the message that we all cultivate within organizations is our responsibility, because we get to create those messages. We get to share what's meaningful to us, and we get to step into those shoes if we choose to. And for too long, as I was growing up, I really recognized that the corporate structure was so much more focused on the bottom line than really it was on the people. And one thing that I really loved is that how can we curate business around the people, around something that's so much more meaningful than a paper bill, you know, or a dollar bill? Because at the end of the day, the true wealth and the true abundance is the energy that we bring into anything. And if we pay more attention to the people and we pay more attention to the value that each person brings, and we live in a space of integrity, then we can consciously curate businesses, organizations, and the shared purpose of what we all stand for at the end of the day into something that is going to leave a lasting legacy that is bigger than any of us.
You are speaking to the inner HR manager inside of me, who for many years, I did 12 years as a HR manager, felt like I was fighting against the battle between those who were focusing on, you know, figures, profit and loss, targets usually imposed by people sat in an ivory tower who had zero understanding of the workings of the business. and my aim was completely different, which is why I was both, it was a blessing and a curse. So I was focused on the people. I used to have over 300 people in my organization in the stores, and it was really important for me to know their names, know something about them. And that's when, for me, there was a big discord, because a lot of the operational managers would be like, how did you get that person to do that for you? Because I know them by name, because I know what's important to them, et cetera. So what you're sharing there speaks to the heart of everything that I loved to do within that business role. So I love that you're doing that externally as well. And what I mean by that isn't, you know, it's not you setting up a business, you know, instilling these core values within said business. You're doing this for other people who maybe don't, you know, can't see the wood for the trees with inside of their own businesses. How on earth did you get to be that person who is living that life? So if we go kind of, we go full tilt back the other way, you grew up in Canada. You tell us, I won't tell your story. Tell us what life was like for you as a child, a kind of brief synopsis. And then we'll look at how someone goes from that beginning to where you are now.
So growing up in Canada was really something like super beautiful. And also the contrast was completely something that I wasn't expecting based off of what I saw from society was standing, because there's a lot of cultures and there's a lot of different opinions and belief systems. The thing is that what I always noticed as a young boy is that society and paying attention to the news and the media and things, they were always like creating some sort of a problem. and what I realized is like my parents, they would really listen to that stuff. And it's not that they were doing anything wrong. They just didn't know any better. Right. Mm-hmm. So I really paid attention to the way that they were able to be influenced by these narratives.
And that was from a really young age.
From a really young age. And it's interesting because I remember focusing on the feelings.
So you've always been a kinesthetic type of person.
100%. And so feeling is to me something that is way more real than thinking. But you know, we're so conditioned by society to be like, hey, no, like that intuitive behavior, that feminine nature that all of us actually have, which most people are very disconnected from. We're so told that, hey, it's not real, or you know, focus on the mind. Like the mind is a tool. If we can really tap into the feeling, and we can expand the feeling with our mind if we're coherent. What do I mean by that? I mean, can we bring our hearts and minds together? Right. And so as a young boy, I was really curious about this. And so I was so curious about this and feeling so like an outsider. You know, like it didn't make sense. Things didn't make sense. Things were, and I remember watching like movies, like things like The Lion King and things like that would make me inspired. Like things that would like make me like, wow, this is something so profound. It's so much more meaningful. Like I can do that, you know? And then I remember the mind would come in and say, like, how are you going to do that?
Yeah.
And you know, there's a beautiful thing that my teacher, Tony Robbins, really says is like, reasons comes first, answers come later. And so I didn't know this at the time, but of course I was very much following this inner being of mine, this inner feeling of mine that was really curious, that was really excited, that wanted to know more, didn't really understand the things that maybe the outside world was following. And so at a very young age, I got into drugs like crack cocaine and things around this nature to really, it was really to hide. It was really to get rid of the pain that society was telling me that I needed to be a part of, the suffering.
So at what age are we talking where, because this isn't just, you know, a soft drug. This is a hard drug. How, at what age did you get into it? And was it hanging around with the wrong crowd? Or were you actively seeking it out?
Yeah. So, you know, society tells so much of us that we like abundance is wealth, is money, is this and that. So at a young age, I was like already 13 and 14. I was already like, you know, money. How can I make money? How can I make like it easier for my parents? What can I do to make money? Like, you know, they immigrated from Poland to Canada and, you know, they were always like grinding. Mm. Like, and it seemed like it didn't matter how much, how hard they worked that they could, like, they never could get ahead. And so for me, it was like, as a young boy, it's like, how can I figure this out? How can I figure, like
frustration,
thinking of solutions, you know, at a young boy, as a young boy.
See, this is fascinating because now, sorry, with the right knowledge, with the right people around you, you know, that right network. And I always talk about to be a success in any area of life, I believe everyone needs a good level of knowledge or education in that niche, that field. They need the right mindset to be able to manage it. But most importantly, the right network of people around them to nurture it. And as you say, it was through no fault of their own. Your parents, you know, weren't used to dealing with this. They, like many other people, and how many people follow mainstream media, get all of their information from that, take it as gospel. And, you know, those who listen to the podcast regularly will know my thoughts around that and not following it. There's this huge, which is where the balance part is making sense to me, because there's this huge dichotomy between wanting to fit in, following the norms, following the status quo versus, but there's this feeling or this thing deep inside of me. So people may agree or disagree. I believe that we're going to touch upon this now, because you said obviously you got into drugs at a really young age, but you'd always wanted to kind of make more money, and that need and that desire is there. And I think nurtured in the right way, that's huge. I've 100%. Got a 13-year-old who, you know, is buying and selling clothes on Vinted and Depop, and he's asking the right questions and he's found himself a mentor, and that encouraged in the right way, I think, is phenomenal. However, at that point for you, you know, I believe that, did you move into selling of drugs? Because I'm trying to put two and two together here and go from there. This is how you then made the money.
Yeah.
I believe that drug dealers, rightly, I'm from a very rough place in Liverpool. I think some of the best entrepreneurial minds are actually drug dealers. That's They're very good.
Started. That's how I started.
So you were making money at a really young age?
As a really young age as a drug dealer. And then eventually I started using.
Yes. Oh, so the money came first and the usage came second.
Yeah.
How then does someone go from, you know, did you get to full addict status?
100%.
We talked on the way here about hitting rock bottom. Tell us around how you then go. Because for those who are sat and listening thinking, hold on, there's this person who's talking about being heart-centered, supporting businesses, really astute mind. How does someone go from being, you know, addicted to drugs, selling of drugs, leading into addiction, to now being here? That must have been you've got a long journey along the way. Tell us a little bit about how.
You know, it's funny. I actually shared today on one of my posts, I shared 17 years ago, you know, I've been on this path of clarity.
17 years.
17 what? Years. I've been clean and focused, you know. And it's interesting that you bring this up today, because I literally shared it in a post. So it's fascinating. For me, the expression of me needing to get clean was not something that came from anybody except the faith of my parents. And so the faith of my parents had always been there, and their love had been unconditional. You see, I grew up in a very rich household, maybe not of money, but of love. And so, which is the ultimate wealth. And so that, even though I was addicted for 3 years to crack cocaine and disappearing and not knowing my parents, not knowing where I was. There was a question at one point, because multiple times I tried to have gone to rehab, but there was a question that my father had asked me that changed the narrative of my inner being, my soul. And he said, can you do this for your future self? And it's like something came out of me and willed me into taking the next step and going to rehab with him, getting, you know, involved and included. But, you know, it wasn't like it was easy, because I was so addicted. So we literally needed to, you know, bypass, you know, you had to take a urine test. My dad had to help me literally. And the counselor actually felt like, hey, this isn't warm. So he needed to look at me, and I basically begged from the eyes, not saying anything, from the energy, I need your help. I really need help. And it was something that the counselor had felt and had allowed me to come through.
So has this led to you, because a lot of what you do is around feelings and connection and being heart-centered, as you mentioned, would that you say that was kind of a catalyst there? Because non-verbally, there was a connection there and he knew what you needed without, because look, let's be honest, there's a tick box exercise. You know, you're out, you're not meeting the requirements. He could have very easily turned you away and it gone the other way. Do you think that was a timings thing? Do you think that was the connection with him? What do you think led to
that? It's energy. So people feel each other, right? And this is going back to understanding people. And like, there's an interconnection that we all hold, whether you believe it or not. You know, at the end of the day, there's an energy source that comes through all of us. And that ignition inside of us feels each other. We're mirrors of one another. And so he felt my need for his support in that moment.
At what age were you there?
19.
See, this is just unfathomable for, you know, the mum of a teenager now to think I'm fully encouraging him to be entrepreneurial and make more money and understand it. But everyone is just one or two decisions away from a completely different life. Mm-hmm. So that turning point for you, getting clean, 17 years, congratulations.
Thank you.
And how do you then go from being an addict to coming through rehab? And then like, where's the starting process? What was the next step for you? Because there are undoubtedly going to be people who listen to the podcast who've either been in a similar position, have family members have experienced it, or you know, have other areas in their life where they maybe feel like they're a little bit different and don't know how to bring out the best version of them.
I really focused on being in a positive atmosphere. And so, I found a job in like a really great space at Lululemon.
Ah.
Yeah, so Chip Wilson's store, and really beautiful. And I remember when they just opened up, Chip came to the store, you know, really just expressing his energy. It was really like kind and open and like loving. And it was amazing because it was before like it was a $1 billion, you know, organization, you know, and that gave me the capacity. It's like really empowering. It's like you could see how everybody inside of this, like it really encouraged like people to like look after each other and themselves, you know, like healthy, happy, you know, nurturing and supportive. And this was like, it inspired me and it kept me going. I met a girl that would like was the manager at that time. So she was like really good. And so I went back to school. I upgraded my schooling. I went to university. And then I started like really encouraging myself inside of university where I worked as, you know, I was doing finance and in accounting. And I became the president of the accounting club. And I nurtured events and really focused on how I can support the student body to really help them find jobs. And because I was willing to kind of go out there and like share my energy and express it, it allowed me to then change the environment that I was in, and it helped other individuals, you know, get their own way of getting into these organizations. And so we did a tax clinic. We did a lot of things inside of school. And I wanted to make it easier for people that maybe didn't know how to express themselves or didn't feel comfortable yet. So I just wanted to always create that safe space.
Do you think that comes from being the child who felt they didn't fit in and maybe kind of feeling a little bit uncomfortable and not knowing, you know, how best to utilize that or how best to nurture it, that there's been a driver inside of you that now sees that in other people? Because there's a lot of threads and a lot of themes through what you're saying in terms of what you do now, you know, helping businesses to create a culture and create that, you know, desire to succeed, a oneness, if you like, of everyone coming together, which is something that you're replicating from a job, you know, when you were 19. Has that always been a bit of a theme in terms of what you do?
Yeah, like, I mean, family is everything to me. And I feel like family, community, organizations, nations, the planet, you know, the universe, we're all like family. Like we can really cultivate this sense of family as like taking care of each other. And it doesn't matter your belief systems, the way that, you know, your map of the world, really at the end of the day, we're humans. And it's really a beautiful expression of just like taking care of one another and treating another person as you want to be treated. And I think that when people feel safe and when people feel vulnerable and authentic, they really tap into their creative genius. And when people can tap into their creative genius, they can really fulfill their destiny, because it's in those moments of decision that our destiny becomes determined.
And isn't that interesting? Because those decisions that you made, the decision to move into, you know, use of illegal substances, sale of illegal substances, but it actually changed the trajectory. Do you believe you would be the person you are today if you hadn't been through that and hit rock bottom?
Absolutely not.
What did rock bottom look like for you and for those people who may be? Because one thing that I always want to do with the podcast is have active things that people can learn from. And we never know what's going on behind closed doors. And quite often, you know, the people who seem like they've got their stuff together and, you know, they seem like everything's just easy for them are quite often the ones who are struggling the most. And those who maybe are perceived by the outside world as failures or unsuccessful are often the happiest people. So how then do we help those people? What if someone is facing rock bottom or facing real tough decisions because, you know, your destiny can go one way or the other in on the flip of a coin? How can you leverage what you've done to help those people? So if someone is facing rock bottom now or maybe feels like they're there, what would you say to those people?
I would say get around people that can encourage you, inspire you, focus on the solutions around you, because those are the people that are going to help you recognize the value that you bring to the table. And it doesn't matter whether you have nothing in your pocket or you don't believe that you have any pocket. Who you are, the fact that you're merely alive and existing already makes you absolutely abundant. And so all you need to do is follow that like inkling, that spark, that desire, that hunger, that passion in your heart of what you really love to do. And as a result of that, continue to get around the people that have been there before, read the books that they've written, hang out, listen to the podcasts that they've said, spend time around individuals that are doing the things that you really want to do and ask tons of questions. Because questions, the quality of your questions will determine the quality of your relations, the quality of your life, and the quality of your circumstances. And as a result, you will start to drive yourself into that narrative of what's possible.
I love the way your passion and your whole voice, demeanor, everything has changed. You can tell that this is something that you're hugely passionate about. And we spoke before we hit record earlier on, we caught up earlier on, we were talking about, you know, serendipity and bizarrely things that you were saying. I was like, no way. I've written a post ready to go out later. And one of the themes in there was asking the right questions to elicit the right answers. But the additional thing that not many people do, which is to listen. And for a lot of people, I believe that's listening to the voice inside of you. Because sometimes we talk about monkey brain. We talk about, you know, anyone who's heard me deliver a presentation knows that I always talk about the chimp on your shoulder. My chimp is named. Her name is Rosa. And Rosa is a bitch because what Rosa does is tells me, you can't do it. You shouldn't do it. You know, the little negative voice. For people right now who are listening to that and feeling inspired, because that's what you're hoping to do is to inspire people. But that little voice in their head is going, yeah, but it's all right for you because, you know, you live a nice life. You live in a beautiful place. We're sitting here in the beautiful sunshine in Dubai, you know, worlds apart from what many people are experiencing. How then, if they've got a passion, do they turn that into a profession, turn that into an income? Because we were talking before about, and I don't want people to miss out on that, is that we were talking about the difference between making a difference in people's lives and making money and how you can actually do both. So how does someone who has that drive, that fire, that ignition inside of them, but they have no idea how to turn it into an income generating source, keep the wolf from the door, even let alone live this luxurious lifestyle?
So there's so much layers that come from a person that is really able to share their story. And I think that when people are willing to express, you know, their passions and what they really desire in their life. And thinking is like, how am I going to get there? What do I need to do? How do I figure out? Okay. So, you know, first step is get around the right people, right? But the second step is also then starting to get curious about how you can really define what you want. And so me, like I said earlier to you, when we were together, to define what you really want in your life, you have to get really clear of what you don't want. And so where you are right now is actually a beautiful opportunity for anybody listening that is at that rock bottom. It's like, this is what I don't want. Amazing. This is a lesson. If you really don't want it, what are now the solutions to help you get just one step ahead? Is that maybe writing a post about something that inspires you? Is that maybe taking a guitar lesson? Is that maybe taking, you know, reading a book that might change the way that you think for that one day? Is that maybe listening to this podcast? Mm. And if you take a moment, just one moment that helps you find, okay, I'm going to start writing about the things that I really want. What are the 10 things that I can do in the next 10 weeks so that every week I can actually cross it off and really feel satisfied with what I need to do? Whether it's, you know, go to the gym, whether it's work out, whether it's eat healthier, whether it's maybe have a better conversation. But, you know, let's even take it another step. Let's say that you're really needing, you know, like me, like you have an addiction, maybe you're drinking too much, you're gambling too much, maybe you're, you know, your relationships with your beloved isn't as amazing. Okay, so, well, if that's happening, what can I do right now just to be with myself without needing necessarily any of that substance, another person, and really find the relationship with myself? Because if that relationship with yourself becomes real and you really get clear on that relationship, you'll start to tap into something really more profound. So what does that look like? Well, maybe some silence. Maybe it's a good song. Maybe it's literally just walking down the street and smiling at another human being and recognizing the smile that comes back. Because that becomes a mirror. And that becomes a powerful energy exchange that you literally did nothing. You just smiled at somebody, and that smile in reverse, that was the power that you really cultivated without needing to pay for anything, to do anything. And that becomes profound energy. When you duplicate that multiple times over and over again, you start to recognize, wow, I can walk into these different environments. I could be good to people. I could smile at them. And I could actually start getting curious about these people. And now I'm building the relationship with myself because now I'm encouraging the environment. And this starts to now change your circumstances. This starts to change your environment. This starts to amplify and manifest your energy because now people start to see that you are the light, that you are the shine, that you are the sparkle. And you get to start to follow these passions, these behaviors. The way that you treat somebody else is ultimately the way that you treat yourself, always.
There is so much that I want to pick out of there from perspective, because I always see that there's a lot of, oftentimes you'll read a book and you'll think this book feels familiar, you know, if it's a development book, a self-help book, etc. And it's because everyone is trying to say the same thing, but it's just you finding it said to you in the way that resonates with you or connects mm-hmm. with you. And what you're saying is quite often there will be people who've gone, yeah, well, other people have told me that, but it didn't work. So there's loads that I want to pick up there because there's so many similarities between my thought processes and what you're saying. It's like you're literally saying it out loud in a much more eloquent way. Perspective is one of the key things I wanted to pull out there because I love that analogy of, you know, so often we can focus on the negative and things aren't going really well and this is not fun. I mean, life's a little bit rubbish now and blah, blah, blah. And we focus on the negatives. You know, Dr. John DeMartini always talks about there being challenge and support in every situation. But that perspective shift to go, okay, all of these bad things have happened, or this situation is really not where I want to be. Fabulous. Now I know what I don't want, to switch that around to then know what you do want. And this is where the element of having the right people around you comes in. So in that instance where you were, you know, facing addiction and moving away from it, having those mentors, those peers, those supporters, whether they're paid or, you know, friends, because oftentimes what people think is, well, I can't afford to get a mentor. Well, everyone's got mentors in lives anyway. Sometimes they're your parents or they're school teachers. Sometimes we don't realize what a negative or positive impact they are. And I believe that we have radiators and drains in our life. And a radiator is someone who, when you're in their presence, just sucks the life and fun out of everything. Sorry, a drain does, but a radiator, it rises the energy and it warms it up and makes it feel good. So for every drain in your life, and sometimes we have them because, you know, they're your parents or you're married to them or they're the sibling or the people that you work with, you surround yourself with the right people. So you have replicated that and now that's how you're helping other people. I think there's so much in what you've just said from the perspective and the way that we look at things. But also one of my favorite games to play is to, I'm from Liverpool, is to walk around London. If you've ever been to London, have you ever walked around London and just smiled at people and watched their reaction? Do you not find that 90% of the time they look at you with this confused face like, what is wrong with you?
It's interesting that you say that because I literally was just in London before I was in Dubai and I had this actually perspective. And it's beautiful because people were genuinely changing their behavior. But then there were people that like they would look at me twice and
think, and then
like,
smile.
No, they would like I'm crazy. You know what I mean? And like on the tube or something like this. And it was beautiful.
But don't smile at people there.
And it was amazing. And it was so much fun just to like really be this fully expressive soul in the midst of London in the tube, you know, like. And I think that that's exactly the places that we need to.
Agreed. And I think the reason why, because that's the norm for a lot of people. I'm very much broad brushing it. It's because I'm from Liverpool and you walk down the street, you smile at someone, they smile back at you. So the first time I went to London on my own with a little trolley case behind me and someone was walking towards me and I stopped and pulled the case to my side and went, oh, you go. And they looked at me so strangely. And I was like, but I let you go. I thought I'd done something wrong. Cause it was like, why are you letting me pass? And it made me laugh. And it made me laugh. So I thought, this is going to be my fun thing to do when I walk around London and smile and just see how many people smile back. And I think that comes to, so I'm a huge fan of lots of different types of poetry, and in particular Maya Angelou, and the people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but they'll never forget the way you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And I think the importance of knowing yourself well enough to know that you might look like the crazy person walking down the street smiling people. There might be people who look at you and think, what is wrong with him? But what if there's that one person who needed to just see that smile today and the ripple effect that can have, because your smile, you know, impacting them in some way, then giving them the opportunity to pass that and pay it forward. And I know that's something that you're passionate about doing, is, you know, changing the hearts and minds of people, helping them and impacting lives. So with that being said, what would you say is your kind of purpose right now? What is your vision? What's your mission? What are your values? Because they seem very different to a lot of kind of people in the corporate world that we're used to.
So I feel the first thing is like, everybody is our mentor. And if we pay attention to each person and we see what we don't like in somebody, it's actually what we don't like in ourselves. We see what we do like in somebody, it's also what we do like in ourselves. So it's this curiosity that allows us to understand that each person that we ever meet in our life is actually just a direct reflection of how, what we love or don't love about ourselves. And if we can find that calmness, that peace, that balance, it'll give us the capacity to then be in this state of equilibrium and walk the path of, you know, certainty. And so for me, you know, a few years ago, I was on Tony's stage and I expressed my mission to like 25 or 3,000 people in Australia at Day with Destiny. And my purpose is to embody loving and courageous wisdom and to empower myself and others. And this is something that has been anchored in me, because this purpose, it's actually just when a lion walks through the jungle, doesn't need to say, I'm a lion. The lion, right?
Everyone knows it,
right? When a lion is with his cubs, or a lioness is with her cubs, full love, full presence, full connection. When a lion and a lioness are together, full love, full presence, full connection. But when there's something that is not safe,
mm-hmm. a threat,
they step into that place of knowing what they stand for, and they walk through with absolute certainty.
Great analogy. So you're part of the whole network. You talk about your mentor, Tony Robbins. You know, standing on stage in front of 25, 30,000 people. How does that feel? And how did you go from, I picture this, because what we've not kind of touched upon is that, you know, you talked about working at Lululemon, you've talked about, you know, supporting in businesses, but you've had such a varied background from, you know, working in oil fields to being a welder, to being a bodybuilder to, you know, so you've got this really eclectic background. How then? So I'd love to know the story about how you went from that person to standing on a stage with your mentor, Tony Robbins, in front of 25, 30,000 people. And then how it feels like.
So it was 2,500, 3,000.
It's still huge. Sorry, yeah, I thought it was 25. Just clarify that. It was just 3,000 people, everyone.
So it was really special. because it was Date with Destiny. And so these like, it was really meaningful. It was 5 days of like just true transparent communication in the environment. Right. But for me, I remember actually, so, you know, I went to university for accounting and finance. I spent 5 years in university and had any opportunity to go to, I got my hand to pick of which firm I wanted to go work at. And literally 3 months, I quit. I didn't care. Why? Because I didn't feel valued and encouraged in my creative abilities to what I could actually step up to. And I felt like the corporate ladder was actually holding me back. And so then, you know, I was focused on money. And so I was like, how can I? And I wasn't being paid what I was worth, quite frankly, like mm-hmm. in what I perceived as being worth. And so I went to the oil, back to the oil field, because that's how I paid for school, which yep. was welding. And while I was in the oil field, I was doing a lot of like, once I became a supervisor, I was doing a lot of reading. And the reading then was like, okay, I need to shift because I was not happy. And it's like, I don't care if I'm making $300,000 a year, I'm unhappy. So
there's going to be so many people listening who resonate with that.
Yeah,
as well.
Well, because if you're unhappy, if there's no meaning, if there's like, what do we stand for as humans, right? And so I was like, I need to do what I love, and I need to do. And so I started reading a lot of books. I started to listen to a lot of podcasts, mm-hmm. and I started to just like take in a lot of information. And I started going to also events. And so these events were something that, you know, personal development, I was starting something that was really important for me to get curious about. And I wanted to really become better. I just wanted to become better. I didn't know what better looked, but I just knew that there was something more. And I would look at like, you know, these expressions of like quotes from Tony or Gary Vee or Dr. John DeMartini or, you know, who I was actually on my podcast like a couple of weeks ago.
No.
And like all these things that just like these easy things that were showing up in my life, they were just coming. And I was like, I need to follow, because Tony says like, if you want to change your life, find somebody that you want, that you are like empowers that perspective or that narrative in your life and model them.
So when are we talking that you started doing this? At what age was this, or how long ago?
This was 27, 28. So this was about 8 years ago.
So it's not a huge amount of time in the grand scheme of things to have achieved what you've achieved and built the life that you have done. What was the first Tony Robbins event you went to?
It was a small event in Edmonton. Like, I mean, small for him, I guess, but like, it was like, you know, 5,000 people in a small event. Like it was just a small gathering, but it was funny the way that it happened. Cause I was in Costa Rica and I was like, I remember reaching out to Tony, not reaching out to Tony, but like, I said, I commented on one of his posts.
Yep.
And I commented on his post, like, I'm going to meet you. You know, I know it. I'm going to feel it. And somebody messaged me from Tony's team and was like, hey, come meet me. And I was like, who is this? He was like, Tony Robbins. No, it's not. It's Tony Robbins. Like, come on. You have a team. Like, what do you mean? Like, you're not wasting your time messaging me. No, I want you to come up. I want to shake your hand at the next event that I'm going to be in Edmonton. And I'm like, what do you mean, Tony? Like, what do you mean come up and shake your hand? Like, what does that mean? I know you have like bodyguards around you. Yeah. There's like people. Like, come drink up during a break.
Thinking this is a
load of
rubbish?
This is bullshit. This is his team. This is whatever. Like, and then when I got to the event, I tried like three times. And his security detail was like, go sit down, buddy.
Yeah, join the queue. Yeah,
like exactly. Basically.
What makes you special?
Yeah, what makes you special? And I like made eye contact with him multiple times. After the third time, he came up to exactly where I was sitting, grabbed me and gave me a big hug. And in that moment, I knew that like it just made sense. And so it impacted me enough to like want to go to his next event at UPW. And on the first day at UPW in London, 2019 is when I said, I went up to him after like all the, like, hey, Tony, remember me? Like a little fanboy.
Oh my God.
You know, like, ah. So funny. And I was totally a fanboy. I was totally like, because the guy was embodying exactly what I wanted, like I saw in myself. And I didn't know this for the longest time, but I'll tell you, for me, after that day, I said hello to him. His nephew, the guy that I purchased the tickets from, Jamie, he messaged me the following day, and they moved me to the front of the like experience.
Venue, yeah.
And then I spent the next 3 days like, rah! And everybody in like the platinum community was like, who is this guy? This guy's like,
because everyone else knew everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. But who is this? Like, where did this energy show up? You know, and Tony and I, just, yeah, you know, like, ah, you know? And at the end of the event, you know, like they had the pitch for the platinums. Right. And I was like, I can't do this. This is $85,000. Like, I'm terrified. I don't even have like, I don't have that money, but I have the down payment.
Yeah.
And so I remember Scotty, his brother-in-law, which is Sage's brother, was like, Eric, just believe in your heart, you know, and put his hand on my heart. And I was like,
was there still a little voice inside you going, yeah, this is bullshit.
This is such a sales, like, and then I said, you know what? And then I said to myself, I said, if you're not this valuable, are you really going to allow a price dictate your worth?
Wow.
And I said, I'm fucking priceless.
I'm in.
And I did it. And I stepped in and I stepped through. And the following time, and then I went to Date with Destiny in Australia. And that's when I really got to express my purpose on stage, which was fascinating because it was the only time in history that Tony Robbins got sick, couldn't be on stage at the time that I got to share my purpose.
How does that make you feel?
Beautiful feeling, because I was able to hold the energy of the room for 45 minutes in an empowering way. Wow. And everybody, it was erupting. And so what does that mean? If I'm sharing my purpose, that I'm going to be loving and in courageous wisdom to embody that, to empower others and myself, and everybody is erupting and adding value, and I'm able to hold the space, and everybody is like contributing, teaching me, I'm learning from them. They're helping me to make it better, to do it in a way more. This was something that was the ultimate teaching, not from just Tony, but from
higher power.
A higher power.
So you talk a lot about faith, and you talk a lot about having faith in yourself, because faith means different things to different people. And there are going to be a lot of people who will be dismissive when you talk about faith, because they automatically think of a certain religion or a certain type of spirituality.
Energy.
Something.
Creator.
Whatever you want it to mean.
Source.
How then, because I'm so conscious of your time and I could sit and talk to you for absolutely hours because it's fascinating. I want to leave the listeners or those watching with something that, because I'm sure you will have massively inspired a lot of people, those who are near rock bottom, those who feel like they're just on the cusp of something, those who are in that position where they're thinking, you know, where you saying, oh, you owe this to yourself type thing, or putting a value on your worth. There's going to be so many trigger points for a lot of people. If you could leave the listeners and those watching with a piece of advice or a parting line or a gift to leave them with at the end of the podcast, what would that be?
Trust in yourself.
Short and sweet.
If you have the conviction of knowing who you are, and you know that you want to create this, if you know yourself enough and you are willing to follow that trust in yourself, that journey inwards will be the one that will cultivate who you are outwards.
What a lovely thing to leave on. Honestly, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going to take over the fucking world. I can do this. I can do that. Because you've instilled that energy in people. So I love that you've shared that today on the podcast. I could absolutely sit and talk to you for hours. So I believe that there will definitely be a version two if you're up for it. For anyone who wants to get in touch with Eric, watch what he does, listen to the podcast that he's got out there. We'll put all of the links into the show notes so that you can access them. I personally, though, want to say a huge thank you for giving your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. And I have one question for you.
Oh, I like it. Go.
What inspires you to continue to share this beautiful podcast and bring all these amazing people on the show?
Oh, that's an interesting question. So I am relaunching a podcast after a 2-year hiatus. And the reason I am doing that is I believe that over the last couple of years, I've been so fortunate to have met some amazing people with inspiring stories. And something you said earlier on really triggered in that thought in me, and that I believe everyone's got a story inside of them. And the saddest thing is many people take that to the grave or don't give that gift to the world. Mm. And so what inspires me is, one, selfishly getting all of that energy and all of, you know, I get to interview amazing people with phenomenal stories that, you know, those listeners would never necessarily have come across. And two, there are going to be people who don't, unlike you, don't have big platforms, aren't well known by people. And therefore, I believe that it's, you know, it's really sad that they don't get that message out there. So if I can play some small part in that while also benefiting from it too, I think that's a privileged position to be in.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for you and in what you're doing. I think it's super important. So I'm very grateful for your time.
Appreciate it.
Energy. It's really special.